This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning and welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigabon. At this point, I normally say joining me in studio as usual is Naz Marchese. Naz is off this Sunday, so I'll be riding solo in studio, but I'm thrilled to have with me this morning former Toronto Maple Leaf, former Washington Capital, Leapin', Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you? Lou, you there? We lose Lou. Let's get him back on the phone. Also joining us this morning, the ultimate Leafs fan, Mike Wilson. How are you?
Mike? I'm good. I'm here, Wally, so all's good.
Okay. Well, I think they benched, I don't know who the last Leaf coach or Washington coach was, but I think Lou got benched this morning. Lou, are you there? Are you making onto the ice?
I'm here, Wally. I said good morning and happy St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah, thank you. I don't know, producer Owen, I think Lou may have some background noise. I'm not sure who's got it, but somehow if you can fix that. Lou, thanks for joining us. Mike, thanks for joining us. I got to say, first of all, happy St. Paddy's Day today to all the Irish friends. Mike, you might appreciate this. I'm decked out in studio in my Fighting Irish green ensemble this morning. I know you're a big Fighting Irish fan as well. So happy St. Pat's Day to you.
And I got a Notre Dame shirt on myself, girl. I must admit, it's green and blue. So it's
I got green on this morning, so it gives me an opportunity to dig it out of my closet in the off season. So I always look forward to it, gentlemen. Toronto Maple Leafs, we always do the recap on Sunday mornings. We look back on the week, and I would give the Leafs a B grade this week. We got a good result against the hated Flyers. Not so thrilled about the way the game ended last night. Mike, I'll turn it over to you first. Not a great way to finish that game for the Leafs last night. I'll let you take the first crack at it.
Well, I mean, I think you have to go back to about 10 days since they've played probably four, what is their last six games, against Vegas, two against Boston, and then last night against Carolina, which is sort of the upper echelon of the National Hockey League. And some of the, you know, some of the weaknesses or some of the shortcomings of the club were pretty, you know, prevalent coming out of those games. And last night, for the life of me, I don't understand. They have the fourth worst penalty killing in the National Hockey League. And they have William Nylander, who's, you know, not exactly the most aggressive type player and one of the softest players in the team, penalty killing. And if you reverse that and you look at Carolina last night, who's second in the league in penalty killing, when the Leafs were on the power play last night, they forced the play and forced the Leafs to move the puck. And the Leafs are so good and skilled at moving and snapping it around. They were allowed to, but they didn't get all their shots or perimeter shots. And then the Leafs got on the penalty kill. And for some reason, I don't know what films they're watching, but they seem to be playing this high triangle rotating movement that just, like, it gives them so much room at the point. And you have guys aren't going to block shots. So anyway, so that's my criticism of that last night. But overall, the game last night was a good one. The Leafs, I was at the game, and I didn't see them. They had a lot of jump. They were forcing the play on the forecheck. And, you know, they got some fitting in, have a lot of puck luck. Samsonov was terrific in net. So overall, pretty good effort. But again, you know, B-minus, B-plus, but you can need a little more now to beat into those clubs I just mentioned, including Vegas.
Yeah, I watched some of the pregame commentary from the coach and some of the players, and also Couldn't agree. I do agree with you. You know what? Let me save my comments. I'm going to turn it over to you, Lou. I want to get you involved. Your assessment of the Leafs' performance last night, Lou. Are you heartened by the fact that it seemed to be a reasonably good effort, and they seem to have had the game in hand against a pretty good opponent that, you know, at some point in time, if they make a march through the Eastern Conference, they may end up playing Carolina at some point, hopefully, let's put it that way. But they seem to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory last night. Give us your overall assessment, Lou.
Well, you know, Mike makes a couple of good points on the power play and a penalty kill. But you got to look at the way that this Carolina team is built. It's a hardworking team. It resembles Rod Brind'Amour, the way he played the game. They don't have any other, you know, great superstars other than maybe Aho and Savchenkov that are probably their true two great goal scorers. So you've really got to outwork this team to beat them. And to Mike's penalty killing system, the reason why they're going into a diamond is because other teams are going into a 1-3-1, and that's the only way you can kill penalties. And the last thing, it just goes to show you how much Mitch Marner is missed on this power play, because he is the guy that creates all the space and the room for Nylander, Matthews, and Tavares, and Riley at the point, because he's so good with the puck. He's so good on his skates that he creates openings just by himself.
Mike, I want you to respond to, I was going to get to it, but this is a good opportunity. Mitch Marner, I think Lou makes a really good point. I was going to make the same point. He certainly, Matthews misses him. There's no question about it. And certainly on the power play, he's certainly missed. Mike?
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, Lou makes a great point on the power play. And Marner, I mean, no question. I mean, he sees the ice as good as anybody in the National Hockey League, and he's definitely, you can see him not on the ice, and he's missed. And Matthews, and it gives them more opportunity to focus on him, and he didn't have any room out there at all last night, but he's such a skilled player, he did make room for himself. But with Marner, it just gives him that little added ice, that little extra room, and as Lou knows, that gives you, that's all a guy like that needs. And you know, especially on that power play, you could see he was clearly missed. And that just gave Carolina that extra little oomph to be able to be more aggressive on you know, making these guys force plays, which they did. But as I mentioned earlier, they're so skilled, they were able to move it around, but they didn't get any really good chances. As a matter of fact, Carolina had a couple better chances than they did on the power play, on the kill. So, you know, when they get him back in the lineup, it definitely will make a difference. But again, if anything, it just shows the value that he brings to that club.
Let me give you my thoughts of what I found disconcerting about last night's game. I know it's an 82 game schedule. You, Mike, and I, we're on the same wavelength. You know, you can't play in fifth gear the entire season. It's an impossible and an unrealistic task, but you're in a game against a really good team, Carolina, that you're going to be competing against if you're going to make a march through the playoffs at some point in time. So it's not a nothing game. To me, that wasn't a nothing game. They're, you know, and I appreciate the fact that where the Leafs are in the standings, they're in no man's land in the standings. They're unless they have a serious drought or a serious run, they are what they are, and this is where they're going to finish. They're not going to catch Florida or Boston, and Tampa, who's coming up behind them, is, unless the Leafs go south like really fast, Tampa's not going to catch them. So, you know, I've heard, you know, people say, well, you just got to get ready for the playoffs. No, you got to win games. When you're up 3-0, when you're up 4-2, and the way they, you know, I know the last goal was just an amazing deflection, but when you're giving up goals with 2 seconds left in the second period, or however much it was, and that, I found that goal distressing, because, you know, like, you know, Leaf defense seemingly can't, you know, you got a guy behind you. you know, in front of the net, picking up a rebound with 2 seconds left in the game. Man, then the mental mistakes are mind-boggling. And then you give up two, a stupid penalty. You know, the only way Leafs are going to lose that game, if you give up a penalty in the last 2 minutes of the game so that, you know, Carolina can get a 6-on-4 out there. You know, you can't tug, you can't knock the guy's stick. It's a penalty in today's NHL. It's just the mental mistakes to give up that lead in what I thought was an important game, not so much in the standings, but, you know, Leafs establishing credibility against, you know, one of their rivals. It left me with a sour feeling after the game. Mike, your response and then your response, Lou.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're correct. I mean, I agree. Your assessment is right. And the disturbing fact as a Leaf fan, I'm watching this, is that intensity level and just these mental mistakes, and couple that with the turnovers, which were just aghast at times last night, is particularly in their own end. And that, you're not going to get away with that against a team like Carolina. And I don't care if they finish in the wild card spot. You're still going to play somebody like the Rangers, Carolina, Boston, or Florida. I mean, choose your poison, and they all play the same way. And they all know, and these guys, these teams are well coached. They know where the deficiencies are in the lineup and who doesn't handle the puck well. And it's not a mistake. It ends up in certain corners at certain points of the game, knowing that that could possibly get turned over if he's pressured. So you're right. This stuff has to be cleaned up. It has to be cleaned up quickly. And again, to your point, every one of these games matters, even though what doesn't matter, and the Leafs have been basically destined for third place since the season began. So, you know, that's not the issue. The issue is these mental mistakes. Again, it's you practice like you play. Well, in this situation, these games, if you want to use them as practice games moving into the playoffs, well, you better step the level up pretty quickly. You're going to be out pretty fast.
Lou, your response to some of the points that Mike and I have raised?
Well, the last 10 or 15 games, knowing that the Leafs aren't going anywhere in their position in the standings, is going to be more or less, it's going to be mental, it's going to be cleaning up your mistakes. And these mistakes that they made last night, they're all things that are between the ears. And there are a lot of things that they can clean up. All they got to do is look at the video and positioning yourself. So I look at the Leafs right now, they've got to more or less take a look at video, look at who they're going to play. Obviously, there's probably 3 or 4 teams that they're going to end up playing, and just clean up their mess in their own zone. And another thing, it goes back to this defense has got to be a little bit more physical in front of their own net to succeed. Because if they're going to let guys like Carolina did last night and the Bruin players last week and Vegas, okay, we're not going anywhere. We got to get a little bit more aggressive. If we have to get a little bit more meaner, then we got to get a little bit more meaner to make sure these guys don't stand in front of the net like they did last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like it's in a chicken and egg situation, right? In a lot of ways, you know, we got to get meaner. Yeah, that's fine. But you got to have the guys who can bring it. Like, you know, you got to have mean hockey players to be mean on the ice. I don't know if mean's the right word. Perhaps a little bit more tough on the puck, or a little bit more aggressive, or a little bit more physical. But I'm not so sure on the resume of what they have back there that, you know, they brought in Edmondson, and, you know, he's a big guy, and perhaps he can be a little bit more of a physical force. And Lyubushkin, yeah, okay. But the rest of them, Mike, they're not physical defensemen. And I don't know how you make what's the famous cliche, how you make chicken soup out of chicken feathers? I don't know if I got that right, but, Mike, I think you got the point.
Yeah, and I mean, well, they use a different word when they're using that analogy, but, you know, everybody got the point, I think, Wally.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, to that point, to Lou's point, he's correct, because as the games wear on and they get closer to the playoffs, you know, everybody, never mind just the players, everybody's on watch, from the referees, who all of a sudden their whole season is dependent on how they perform moving throughout the playoffs, and they get the assignments based on performance. The coaches, their games change. The owners, everybody's on alert, and including the players. So the ice shrinks as the games go along. The time of possession with the pucks gets shorter. And that the idea is, and once again, to the point you guys have made, by playing tough doesn't mean running guys through the boards or running them out of the rink, but the fact means or remains that if you're coming into the offensive zone or the defensive zone in the Leafs case, you know that that guy carrying the puck knows this guy's going to finish his check. He's going to take him out. You better make a smart play because somebody's going to be right on you. You're going to be in front of that. You may get a stick across the back of the neck from Edmondson, as Matthews found out a couple years ago against Montreal during the playoffs. But those are the type of things. And then the thing is, you have to make smart decisions with the puck. But this, once again, here we have to come back to the forwards have to be more defensive responsible on their own end. You can't be looking for those stretch passes. You have to almost play over defense come playoff time. So this puts a lot more weight on the forwards. Never mind the defensemen. The forwards have to come back and they have to play deeper. They got to be on their guys. And as I said to you, you know, with guys Labushkin back there and Edmondson and even McCabe, you know, just make it a little tougher for these guys moving around. And the defensemen, if they finish their check, they don't have to run on guys with the boards. Just take the guy out and make sure you've got your guy. And you know what? If you do all those type of things, you got a good chance to succeed.
Anyways, guys, we've got a couple of minutes left. I got Butch Carter holding on the phone, and don't want to tie him up too much. He's been kind enough to help us out in a pinch this morning. So I just want to last and leave it to you guys to respond to this as our last point of this segment. Leafs, from what I... seeing, I don't see the qualities there that are going to take us on an extended playoff run for a lot of the reasons we just discussed. What should our expectations be? Perhaps our expectations are a little bit too great for this team, and we're going to get let down because our expectations are too high. Mike, I'll take it to you first, and then Lou, I'll let you close the segment. What should the expectations be for this realistically, Mike?
Boy, if I had the answer to that question, you know, you could make an awful lot of money, you know, with some of these things. But I, people have to understand that this team very easily could be out before the first week of May or just a couple of days into May, very easily. And they won't be alone. There's an awful lot of good hockey clubs that are going to be eliminated in the first round. The National Hockey League is the best professional sport league in North America as far as parity goes. And you look at even Pittsburgh's out of it, it's only 7 points of a playoff spot. And that's where they're one of the last place teams. So the fact remains, people better be prepared. The bigger question is going to be, if the bad thing does happen, what happens to the hockey club next? And so, you know, all these pressures are weighing on everybody. You know, Brad Treliving is watching very, very closely, as is upper management. But the expectation as far as this hockey club goes, if they play their game the way they can, and the question remains is how bad you want to win. Look, everybody always talks about they hate to lose, and that's an expression I absolutely despise because nobody likes to lose. The idea is that more important is are you afraid to win? And meaning afraid to win is do you have to do a little extra? Listen, I'll just leave it with this last point. Wayne Gretzky said the first time they lost to the New York Islanders in Stanley Cup final, he walked by their dressing room and they weren't jumping up and down and celebrating.
Yep.
These guys had ice packs.
Yep.
They had trainers walking around them. These guys were in pain. And that's the question you have to ask. You threw it. I mean, the thing is that are you prepared to pay that price? You know, guys come up with separated shoulders, knee problems, all that stuff. You know, that's the extra. And, you know, that's the pain and all that. You know, the celebration and the parade and all that is great. But there's stuff that could hurt your future going forward. Are you prepared to pay that price? And the guys that do are the guys that win. So if the Leafs come with that type of attitude, I like our chances.
Mike, we're going to let you go. Lou, you and I and Carlo will follow up. We got Carlo Koliakovo coming up later in the hour. So we'll continue that part of the discussion. Mike, thank you. We got Butch Carter holding. We're going to talk some basketball as soon as we come back from break. Thanks, Mike.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out their Toronto store on Devonport.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout-out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. Joining us now is former Raptors coach Butch Carter. Butch, first of all, thanks so much for joining us on late notice. Thanks for holding on patiently, and we appreciate so much your ability to join us this morning. Thanks, Butch.
It's no problem, you know.
Thank you. I don't know if you were listening to the last, and I know you were on the phone holding for patiently for a while. I don't know if you heard our last segment with Mike Wilson, but the Leafs, the question we asked is, what should our expectations be?
Well, it's been pretty clear the last 10 years. Very low expectations. It's like all the baseline things you need to have a great marriage, low expectations, and hopefully they exceed them. But, you know, their issue seems to be, and I have a piece of information I can't disclose because of the person.
Yeah, then don't disclose it.
But, look, I just think at the end of the day, they don't have enough. You know, Lou knows this well. As an expert in playing that game, I just don't think they have enough. And is that internal? I think it's a blend of it, internal and external.
Butch, let's take it to your area of expertise, basketball. The Raptors, expectations. I don't think anybody had any expectations for the Raptors this year, and I don't think they're exceeding, nor are they not achieving expectations. I think they are exactly what we thought they would be. Although, when you look at the stats, their starting five seems to compete very well. The statistics seem pretty good for the starting five against the other team's starting five. But overall, how would you assess the Raptors' season? And before I even get to that, it's something I should have started off with this segment with, Butch, and I apologize. The Raptors did suffer some suffered a tragedy this week. The brother of RJ Barrett tragically passed away, and we'd be remiss if we didn't pay our respects to the Barrett family. And I'm sure you have some words you'd like to say.
Well, I mean, we were at dinner last night. Our youngest son, I'm over at Penn State. He's we came over to celebrate his birthday, and I thought of the Barrett family, having four boys, and we all know to lose anyone in your family is very harmful, at least short term. And so I hope to write Mr. Barrett and thank him for all the work that he's done in basketball for Canada, and give our condolences, my family's condolences, on the loss of his son. It is tragic, unfortunate, and I feel it. We all feel for father and son, the whole family, in this situation. That's that's the right thing to do for everyone. And it'll be tough for, I was telling a guy, the first real tragedy I had was when I lost my grandfather, and I was playing in the NBA, and I was really kind of messed up for 3 or 4 days, and it's going to be tough to focus, but I hope that the whole basketball community and Canadians in general send their condolences out to the Bears.
No, we certainly do. When that news came across for me, we all got kids, right?
Yeah.
And you just nothing could be more tragic.
Nope.
I don't have words to describe how the Barrett family. I don't have words to describe, and I'm not going to try. Other than we just pass our just. To all Raptors people and to the Barrett family, all we can say is, our thoughts and prayers are with you, and our sincere condolences. So I don't have any words that I could add to that. So thank you for sharing that with us, Butch. We appreciate it. And thankfully, I remembered since we had you on the show to discuss that. I think it's only appropriate. Getting back to the Raptors, Butch. Expectations. Your thoughts on the Raptors, and I can't see that we could have expected more, or that they are what they are, right, Butch?
Well, they are what they are. I think I watched probably 10 days ago when they played at Indiana. They played the Pacers, and it was the first glimpse that I thought as a coach that the chemistry, the certainty of change around the team, and they played well from start to finish, and that's something that we hadn't seen them do for a while. Right now they're really wounded. Scotty's out with the issue with his hand. RJ's out now, but I think the pieces that they moved. It has given them a better base. The signing of Olynyk, I think it's given them a better base. They play like a basketball team that can make shots and move the basketball. And I still think their largest leap will be if Scotty can mature. But as long as he gets in those dust-ups with officials, he cannot be an all-star player representing the Raptors and bring himself down at times emotionally to tangle with the officials. But I saw a coach that had a voice. I saw a coach that was drawing up plays that the guys were executing coming out of timeout. I just think they are a lot better off than where they were when they started the season.
Lou, you want to take part in this segment? We got Butch. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, Butch. What are the Raptors missing right now? I know they're not having a great season. It looks like they're probably going to end up probably with a top 10 pick, if I'm not mistaken. And what should we look for with this March Madness? What kind of players do you think we're going to would help the Raptors down the road with that top 10 pick?
Well, there's a center that's playing in my old state of Indiana. He's at the wrong school. But
that's Zach Edey, I presume?
Yes, Zach. Right? I mean, I just problem for centers has been that teams have coaches that can't coach them. Like, you know, when I first showed Michael Shrewsbury Zach in Houston, you know, he was like, "But you sure?" I said, "Look, dude, I'm sure. The guy's got no time in basketball. He has a huge IQ. And currently right now, you have the only way you progress as a team in the NBA is you have to lower the offensive efficiency of the other team. If Zach's playing 20 minutes, those 20 minutes, I guarantee you he's going to be lowering their offensive efficiency. No matter what the team wants to do, you're only going to progress. Like, I think they need another wing defender. And the reason for that is that if Scotty gets hurt or is in foul trouble, who do you put on the best player on the other side, especially in this age of basketball where they got this freedom of movement and the owners went to, we want to play a 130-point game. Now at the All-Star game, we got the first inkling that they understand that they went too far when they changed the rules. So, you know, the issue with bigs playing has a lot to do with inadequate coaches being able to coach bigs. But, you know, if Zach's there at 10, you know, I don't know how we pass on him.
Where do you think he will go? Where do you think he will go, Butch?
Well, if there are 9 teams ahead, most of them, I believe, are going to pass on him.
Yeah.
There may be one, but you're going to go with someone that's yelling and screaming in the draft room that they can coach him. And it's amazing to me, guys say they want coachable guys, and then they make the excuse about, you know, well, he doesn't shoot the three. Well, do you think Purdue would be in have the wins that they'd have over the last 3 years if Zach wasn't there?
It'd be a sub-500 team without him.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So, right? But the biggest issue in the league is you have a lot of guys haven't played basketball. They're controlling the teams, and they'll go with this excuse, we can't coach him, or we want someone to shoot threes. But my baseline to grow a team is you go from good to better to the best. And they keep thinking that you can jump 30 wins, and that's not how good teams are built. That you keep acquiring assets, and it's got to be – your culture's got to be around winning the first and third quarter and lowering your opponent's offensive field goal percentage. Historically, it's worked like a gym every time.
Butch, I want to chat with you about Canadian. Canadian basketball has probably never been in a better place, and we're certainly extremely excited about the Olympics coming up this year. You know, we've got some legitimate NBA All-Stars that are going to be suiting up in the red and white in the Maple Leaf. And we may actually have the best backcourt at the Olympics, and the quarterback at that team looks like it's going to be or will be SGA, and he's in the conversation for MVP. First time a Canadian's been in that conversation since Steve Nash. Oklahoma City Thunder are in the mix to be the first seed in the West as a result of his efforts. Talk to us about SGA. What a remarkable Canadian basketballer, and what a remarkable season he's having.
He's got a huge IQ and a huge skill set. And then on top of that, he's extremely persistent. It's a blend of they've got a coach that has put him in the right sets to use his talents. If you have him and Murray in the backcourt, I think you will have the best backcourt in the Olympics.
That's pretty hard to fathom that Canada will have the best backcourt in the Olympics. Think about that. That will be absolutely amazing to watch.
Well, from a skill standpoint, they're I would say they're 1-2 or they're 2 of the top 3. You can pick whoever you want for the other spot, but they are outstanding in their mindset. They are really good people. They wouldn't have gotten this far without their families. They're really good people. And I think it should be something that Canadians should be proud of. They'll set the tone for other young Canadians to aspire to. I just think I agree with you. I think that they'll have their best opportunity in the Olympics this year. And it's because of the tremendous turnaround in Canadian basketball in volume. Used to have one or two. The first one that went down to Kentucky, Jamal. But it's been an onslaught ever since, and I really think it's an onslaught since those kids watched Vince and Tracy play.
Yeah, it's certainly... you can sort of, I couldn't agree with you more, but you can sort of trace it to that, and it's certainly a remarkable time to be a fan of Canada basketball and what we're achieving there. Lou, before we take it to break, last opportunity to participate with Butch.
Butch, obviously, from what you said, we probably do have two of the top three or even two of the top five point guards in all of basketball. How good or how far is Alexander away from being an MVP candidate against Jokic, Embiid, and Doncic?
Well, I mean, the problem you have with the guys you talk about with Joker and Luka are European trained, which is a different training than the traditional travel teams in North America. Again, the NBA commissioner breached that subject when at the All-Star game, where he said that there's a changing wave in basketball in the NBA because now they're drafting 30% of the guys they're drafting are out of Europe. That the coaches they want a more refined basketball player to come to them. I think that he is closing that gap. But that refinement, you know, most really good basketball players get their IQ, achieve their IQ between the ages of 12 and 17 years old. In other words, they're able to absorb not just how they play, but they're able to absorb how other people play and then are able to counter. Because what you're talking about from the European side with Luka and Joker is whoever's guarding them, they have a counter for it. And it's beside a physical skill, it is a huge mental IQ skill. And the Europeans, because they train at a slower pace, so they're getting a deeper depth of knowledge. It takes them a little longer. And when the shoe companies came into basketball and created these travel teams, they did it with the sole purpose of stealing the best players away from high school coaches. So high school coaches would no longer determine where they would go to college, and they've been very successful at it. So I think the NBA commissioner coined it properly, that the European way of training, the owners were agreeable that it was a better way of a finished product for the league, and I think that will continue. And the travel teams, yeah, you get, you know, your stars, but you get a lot of duds, too.
Okay. On that note, Butch, we're going to thank you for last-minute pitching in for us this morning. We can't thank you enough. And on that note, it's our 10th anniversary show next Sunday, so I'm going to take the opportunity to thank you also for all the valuable contributions you've made to our show over the course of the last 10 years. Butch, thanks for this morning, and thanks for the last 10 years. Appreciate it.
Guys, thank you very much. It's always nice to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and all the best to you.
Thanks, Butch Carter. We're going to take it to break, and we'll be right back with TSN's Carlo Koliakoval.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when we realised that our extra-large pizza is 2 whole inches longer than the so-called extra-large from the big pizza conglomerates. How do they even call theirs extra large when Pizzaville gives you 18 whopping inches, steaming hot? Because, let's be honest, who wouldn't want 2 more inches?
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. they'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
Anyone can sell you a rookie card in mint condition, but only Mint Inc. turns a purchase into an experience. Do you want more sports cards and Pokemon? At almost 3,000 square feet and with a live studio and event space, Mint Inc.'s new experience will be the place for collectors to meet their heroes. Get ready for the Mint Inc. trading cards and live experience coming to Vaughan in spring of 2024. Watch for updates at mintink.ca and check out the Toronto store on Devonport.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise. Understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
Any team worth cheering for has fans worth listening to. A super fan of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour is MDF Mechanical, who sends a big shout out to Naz and Wally on 10 years of memorable sports talk. MDF Mechanical speaks from experience in stating that a decade is a milestone worth marking. They themselves are celebrating over 35 years in the plumbing, HVAC, and mechanical design build contracting business. From MDF Mechanical to Naz and Wally, the best sports team on radio, thank you for 10 years of calling it the way you see it.
Opinions expressed on the Naz and Wally Sports Hour are those of Naz and Wally and their guests.
There are two ways to argue sports with these guys, and none of them work. The boys are back, the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM, and live video and audio streaming at zoomerradio.ca. We were hoping to have Carlo Koliakovo on this morning. We haven't been able to get a hold of him. It's live radio. We always get a curve every now and then. Actually, not biting too well with guests this morning. I've got Lou Franceschetti with me. Lou, buddy, it's me and you now, buddy. Mano a mano. You ready?
I told you, a good marriage is always a good fight.
Let's make sure this conversation doesn't degenerate into some of the conversations we have during the week. I'll get thrown on a lot of those conversations we have during the week start with words that cannot be repeated on the air. We'll keep it high level, Lou. But I'm looking forward to going to you toe to toe here. I understand later on this summer, you and I may be heading towards a ball hockey match. There's a tournament that you get involved with. It's the Road to Conquer Cancer, the ball hockey tournament. And firm I'm at, Miller Thompson is going to enter a team this year. So, Lou, I may be bumping up against you on the ball hockey court. So the battle starts today, buddy.
Well, you know what, Wally? I'll give you a little bit of heads up there, okay? You have to be one of the top raising teams to get a shot at. I don't know how many celebrities or actors. Oh,
there's quite a few, and they have a draft. So
yes, they do. But if I don't participate as a celebrity, you give me a call and I will play on your team.
Okay, I'm look forward to it.
I'll share a couple of my tricks with you, okay?
I'm looking forward to it. we sort of played in the same era back in the late 70s, early 80s. And you were one of the most successful, played on some great teams that won Ontario championships, and team that I was part of got close and ended up winning the Ontarios after I retired. So love to lace them up, Lou, and go toe to toe with you, or maybe I can be your winger and you can be my center. I'd look forward to that.
That would be great. That would be great.
Anyways, Lou, let's continue on. Let's continue on with this Leafs discussion. I know that just before we left with Mike Wilson and with Butch Carter, we got into a discussion of what our expectations should be for this team. And are they who they should? Are they where they should be, or are they underachieving? Are they overachieving? My thought process is they are doing exactly what their talent level permits them.
You're right. They again, you know, the deficiencies are there. They're not strong enough in the back end. They ride their top four players up front, and obviously with Mitch being out, it has a drastic change on their power play. Their penalty killing has to get a lot better. But at the end of the day, the first round of the playoffs is always the toughest round to win, because the intensity level is way through the roof. And the players, 1 through 20 or 1 through 24, had better be ready to raise that level, especially against a Tampa or, not a Tampa, but a Florida team or a Boston team. I think their biggest asset is going to be if they end up playing the Rangers in the first round, because they match... they play a similar game. I know the Rangers are probably a little bit bigger on the back end, a little bit more physical, but their front end matches really well against the Rangers, and then we're going to see the two goalies stand off.
The Leafs, my assessment of them, ultra-talented on the front end. Defensively, let's be fair. They have some challenges. At times, they are able to keep it together. Sometimes the goaltending is outstanding. Samsonov's been pretty good lately. I'm not going to blame him for last night's loss. I blame the defense for last night's loss for, giving up, crucial ice in front of the net at the wrong times. And you know what? That deflection at the end of the game was it 6-7 seconds left or whatever it was? Who do you even blame for anything like that? I mean, it happens, right? But when you give up two goals in the last minute and a half of the game, you sort of got to say, are we unlucky? Or do you want to point the finger anywhere? And when you look around the stats in this league, that's only the second time that's happened in the league this year, that a team gave up two goals in the last minute and a half and lost the game. So there's challenges there. I find the Leafs are a better road team than they are a home team because they play a simpler game. They're not out there trying to impress the fans, or they play a more structured game. They get the puck out of their own zone a lot faster when they're playing on the road. They tend not to have a lot of those neutral zone turnovers. The transition, because, in today's NHL, man, these guys are so fast and talented and skilled. You turn the puck over in the neutral zone, it can be in the back of your net like in 3/4 of a second later. But ultimately, in some ways, the Leafs are the team that nobody else wants to play, because they could very well easily go out 4 straight or in 5 games, or they could very easily get on a run if they learn how to control their mistakes and play a little bit more physical and clear pucks from their front zone. I wouldn't be surprised if they go on a run in the playoffs. They're sort of a Jekyll and Hyde type of team, Lou.
You're right. They are a different Jekyll and Hyde type of team. Nobody wants to play them because of the big four. But again, you know why they play a lot better on the road? Because they pay more attention to detail. They're more structured on the road than they are at home, because obviously you're a little bit more freewheeling.
at home than you are on the road. And you know what? It's going to be a struggle. I really think if they don't come out and play the physical way you have to play to get by that first round, and it's going to be the Bertuzzi.
But they're not, you know, Lou, on that point, you know, they tried that physical game against Boston in the second game in Boston. You know, you can say go out and play a physical game, like, but you got to have the troops for that type of a game. I know you can be tougher and you can compete more. But, you know, if we got to rely upon Mitch Marner and Willie Nylander and some of those other guys to go out and play a physical game, we're in trouble. And that's why, you know, you look at the Leafs, the matchups in the first round, you know, it's too bad. I agree with you. It's too bad we can't get the Rangers. Too bad we can't get Carolina. Too bad we can't get some of the two worst matchups for the Leafs are the ones that they're facing, which is Florida and Boston. So, you know, when you say you got to play more physical game, perhaps, but do they have the guys who can do that?
Well, Boston doesn't play a physical game to the point where
they play a compete
they run
game
people through the board. They compete. They're hard on the puck and they finish their checks. Marner and Matthews, all those guys can do finish their checks when they're there. I'm not asking these guys to go over and above that because obviously it's going to take away from their skill level. But they have to finish their checks. They have to get in the way of the bodies from the other team. They just can't let them skate in alone by themselves. And, you know, a great example, I'm not sure if you stayed up after hours last night, but watching the Edmonton-Colorado game and the Vancouver and Washington game, look at the way they compete. And
yeah,
you know, Dreisaitl goes through the body. McDavid, when he has to, finishes his check. Same with McKinnon. Same with Ratanen. All these guys, you know, they do the little things that are going to make them succeed later on in the playoffs because obviously Colorado knows what it takes to win a Stanley Cup.
Lou, I got a note on my notes here. Benoit. He hasn't been in the lineup, I guess, since Edmondson came in. I don't know why they took him out of the lineup other than I guess they thought Edmondson's, you know, a better defenseman or Lyubushkin is a better defenseman. I'm not so sure I want to take Edmondson or Lyubushkin out. I'm not so sure taking Benoit out was such a great idea. Maybe Liljegren or Brody. Somebody should have a look at those two guys because they seem to be making the bulk of the mental mistakes out there. Certainly that's what my eyeballs are telling me. Your thoughts on Benoit, and you got to put him back in the lineup, and then what do you do when Giordano comes back? And I thought he was playing okay. And he's not there. Your thoughts?
I really thought that Benoit was probably one of their better and steadier defensemen when he was playing before they made the two trades for the big guys on defense. And again, we brought those two big guys in, so they've got to add something to the team that they were missing. And obviously that's the physicality. It was Edmondson and Lyubushkin. The one that I'm thinking of, if I got to make a change, is going to be Liljegren. Are they going to sacrifice Liljegren's offensive stature or his ability to go on the offense and put Benoit in where you know you're going to get a good, solid physical effort from Benoit? So, you know, that's going to be a decision on what Keith's going to make and the Leaf organization. Are you going to switch you know, Benoit for the French kid. And then
you brought
up Brody too.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Brody is top six defenseman anymore with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, you know, some of his decision making, I mean, there was, you know, one of the goals last night, I can't remember which one it was. I think they were killing a penalty and he was out there killing penalty and the Colorado guy's in front of the net by himself. I go, like, I don't know. It sort of reminds me of the criticisms I used to make about when Justin Hole was here. It's like you look at him, he goes, why is he in that? Why is he suddenly in that position on the ice when there's guys in front of the net that are open? I don't get it. Do you think perhaps Keefe does a committee of eight defensemen and he rotates the bottom two from time to time? Or is he going to try and figure out who his top six are?
Well, obviously, you're going to have to use all eight because it's going to be a physical series. Now, is Mark Giordano going to be mentally and physically ready to play? And you got to remember, the first round is going to be really intense and really going to be quick. Now, Giordano
and tough. Don't forget that.
And physical, right?
And physical.
Yeah. So is Giordano going to be ready to add the speed end of it?
No, he's not going to add the speed end of it.
He might
add the experience end of it, a little bit of physicality.
Yeah, he's going to add the experience. Yeah.
I think Giordano works if you're playing him 10 to 12 minutes a game. Once you've had to play him into the 18, 20 minutes a game, then you're losing what he can bring to the table. He's 40 years old and in a game where guys are flying at 9,000 miles an hour. So you got to spot him out there. What do you think of this new 24 on the Leafs? What's his name? Connor Dewar?
Dewar.
Yeah, they've been giving him some ice time. Keefe's been giving him some ice time. Seems to, fourth line minutes. What do you think of him?
He's gonna serve a good bottom six role. If he does his job, keeps everything simple, doesn't get any goals scored against anytime he's on the ice. Be a little bit of a crap disturber, get in there, be a little bit gritty, add something, whether he has it or not, add something that the Leafs don't have. You got to start getting under people's skins, in some way, shape or form, start jabbing guys, just a little things, and get him anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes of ice time a game. And again, make sure you don't get any goals scored against you. And anytime you're put out there, it's going to be to create a little bit of energy for the other three lines.
Anyways, Lou, it's 10 o'clock. It's been a pleasure doing this with you, going mano a mano the last segment. I think I sort of held my own, didn't I, Lou?
You definitely did. We should have talked about the TPC today. It's a great round of golf.
Yeah, I know. We didn't get a chance. We were going to talk to Carlo about it, but it's going to be some amazing stuff down in Ponte Vedra today at the Players. So I'm looking forward to that. It's too bad some of the great live guys aren't there, but that's a discussion for another day. Lou, I'm going to say thank you for joining us this morning, and to all our loyal listeners, next week is our 10th anniversary show. Got a bit of a surprise. Please listen in. And Naz, I want to get you back next Sunday, and let's have some fun and go down memory lane on some of the great stuff we've done in the last 10 years. So the great, fascinating interviews we've done. Have a great week.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.